Well, today, if you didn't know, is Pentecost Sunday. That's awesome. I don't know why we don't have a celebration for Pentecost Sunday like we do for Christmas and Easter. I mean, it's a pretty pivotal moment in the Christian life. It was the day when Jesus ascended and sent his Spirit to dwell with us. You know how hard this would be that we're, what we're doing right now without his Spirit guiding us? It'd be pretty hard. We know from time to time, right? When we don't let his Spirit guide us, we know how hard it is. But today I'm continuing on in the book of James. And this title, this one is titled, Today is the Day. Okay? And James is kind of talking about some planning here. And planning, I believe, plays a big role in success. Some of the most successful people that I know in my life are great planners, okay? They plan to and if they have a business, they may plan to have different business meetings to discuss strategy, to discuss, you know, how to do things, what to do next. And the point of doing that, the point of planning is if you are successful, you still need to plan because you want to sustain success, right? Who wants to be successful for just a moment and then for it to be gone? Nobody. You have to continue. You have to plan and to sustain that success. And even if you just run into it, how many of you know that some people just happen to run into success, right? They didn't plan nothing. They just come up with some gadget or gizmo. What was that movie that we watched, The Intern or something? It's where Robert De Niro's this old man. He's retired and nobody will hire him. And he gets a internship at this place. It's kind of like, you know, this new cutting edge hip place. Well, this girl, she started it. She just had this great idea, and it was something ridiculous, like 6 months or something. She was in this humongous, you know, upper level glass window. The whole walls were glass, you know, building that she was running this huge corporation out of. In just a moment, it just exploded. And it got to the point where they were like, you really, like, you're beyond what you know how to do. Like, she didn't plan for all that. It just kind of happened. So success happens, but if you don't take the proper planning, it can go away just as fast as it came. So think about different stages of your life even. As a high schooler, right, you may take some time planning your future, your career, what you want to do for a living. You may be planning how much money you hope to make. How many of you, when you were in high school, you went into the guidance counselor and you said, what's the top five salaries? The top five jobs that make the highest salaries. Those are what I want. You may be looking at going to certain colleges or universities. Once you get past that stage, as a young adult, you're kind of looking at family planning, like how many kids do I want to have? If I've found the right guy or girl, or if I haven't, who am I looking for? What your dream house would be. I remember Christy telling me, probably 16 years ago, she told me her dream house was this little yellow house, right, with a white picket fence, like in the hills, like in the, not really the mountains, but the hills of Maine, like looking down where you could like see it from afar, you know, like that was what her dream house was. I've not yet been able to provide that for her, but that was her dream. See, now she has the Lord's dream, which is greater than that dream. But you start to think about those things as a young adult. And then as you get married and you have kids, you have all kinds of planning, right? You're planning their future, college for them. You got to plan time for your spouse because you have the busy schedule that comes with parenting. You might be starting to plan not just your children's future, but your own with retirement investments. You know, planning is a good thing. There's a lot of planning that needs to be done in your life if you're going to be successful. If you're just winging it every day with everything you do, good luck. I don't really believe in luck, but good luck, okay? I believe in if you're a good planner, I believe that the Lord will bless you, though. Planning can be a really good thing, and a lot of times it's unavoidable. Even for procrastinators, even for spontaneous people, at some point you have to plan something. Otherwise, things are not gonna turn out well. You have to plan to succeed. So planning is good, but how many of you know that planning can be a bad thing? You ever thought about that? That planning can be a bad thing as well? Planning can be bad, especially when people are planning for their own future. When they're planning for their own future. And here's why. Because you can get so caught up and so wrapped up in planning for the future that you completely ignore today. You can be so focused on what you're going to do down the road. This could even be like 2 or 3 days from now. It doesn't even have to be years from now, but you can be so focused on something that's 2 or 3 days from now that you completely ignore all the opportunities that you're going to have today. How bad would that be? I mean, I imagine standing before the throne in heaven and the Lord's like, tell me what you've done for me, you know? And I tell him and he's like, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to show you all these things that you missed because you weren't looking to me, because you weren't living for the day that you were in, because you were planning and not looking at today. And again, I'm not saying planning's bad. I'm just saying it can be a bad thing. And James kind of digs into that here. So we're going to look at that in James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. And he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. You don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like a smoke that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So it is a sin for the person who knows to do what is good and doesn't do it. Many of you have read this scripture before. Probably most people have heard it before. I've done this a few times. I've heard it said before, like, basically, you shouldn't really plan anything. Like, it's just, if the Lord wills that he'll make it happen. Now, sometimes he makes stuff happen by giving you wisdom, okay, so you can plan. It's not saying that you can't plan. And I've also heard it said that you need to say, if the Lord wills, before you say anything that you're going to do in the future. How many of you have, you know, hey, I'm going to come over on Thursday, Lord willing. You know, maybe you've said that. I say stuff like that once in a while. I say them on occasion, but it's not even telling you that you have to say that. The point here is not about what you say, okay? The point here is, are you planning for what you want, or are you planning for what God wants? That's the whole point of the entire passage. Are you following your plans for your life, or are you trying to follow God's plan for your life? Planning is important. If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. That's true. If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. But if you leave God out of your plans, you're still planning to fail. Okay, he's got to be in there. So when James started that, he said, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will travel to such and such a city, spend a year there, and do business and make a profit. Okay, for one here, I mean, I can see several errors in what these people would be saying here, but, you know, they're like, we're going to go here, we're going to stay there for 1 year, and we're going to do business and make a profit. I mean, how can you say you're going to stay there for 1 year? You might not even get there, you know? So, again, it's like, are they seeking what God has for them, or are they just deciding this is a hot spot? You got to remember, during this time, there are several ports and different places that were kind of the hot spots for income, right? Because of the ships coming in for merchandising. And there's just a few pockets where it was like, man, this place is on fire. Everybody would go there and something would happen. It'd fizzle out and everybody would go to the next place. And so people were going around seeking where the money was at. But I want to look at a word here in this. Today or tomorrow, we will travel to such and such a city. That word travel there is poruo, which is P-O-R-E-U-O. And it means to pursue a journey or depart from life. So when they're saying we're going to travel from here, we're going to travel to this city, they're saying we're going to pursue this journey, but we're going to depart from life, right? Because they're picking up and leaving. Right? If you were to pick up and move today, like we're going to move to Arizona, you're departing from this life, right? There would be a different life there. You're going to have different people, different friends. So it's saying that you're going to depart from what you're currently doing. And so when we in our own wisdom make plans for our life, we may be departing from the life that God has planned for us. we might be, you know what? This is not what I want to do. This is not working out. I'm going to transfer to this other state and things might be better there. I'm going to tell you what, if things aren't good here, things probably aren't any better in another state. I mean, how many of you have heard the threats about, I'm going to move out of Illinois because of our government and all that? Dude, head to the next state. Good luck. Again, I don't believe in luck, but good luck. It's not any better there. It's just different, you know, junky laws that you're going to deal with there. How many of you have heard, if so-and-so is the president, I'm moving to Canada? Good luck. You think it's better in Canada? They're closer to socialism than we are. But, I mean, you just, people see all these things and they're like, if I could just depart from this life, if I could just depart from what I have here and go somewhere else, things would be better. Well, things are not going to be better unless you're departing from your life and going to the life that God has for you. That's the only way that departing like that is going to be, you know, a step up for you. So if we're stepping out of his will, we are pursuing our own journey as these people were here. And so the issue that James is teaching again here is, do you make your own plans or do you seek the Lord's will for you? You remember that there's a wide path and a narrow path? I mean, I would like to see like how narrow this path is, because it seems like it's probably like one of these cords, you know? Like I couldn't walk across that. I was getting ready to walk across it, and I pictured Anthony like, or James shooting something down here at me. Don't walk on those cords, because I probably shouldn't. But I mean, I just pictured like, you know, just putting a piece of tape down the floor. I mean, this path's got to be narrow, and there's times where it's hard to see the path. Amen? We need somebody to lead us down the path. And when we try to take that on ourselves and all of a sudden you can't see the path anymore, I mean, good luck finding. How many of you like to go mushroom hunting? Can you hunt something that doesn't move, by the way? I mean, I guess you can hunt a deer and it could be sitting still, but we do mushroom hunting around here and I can't find them. There could be 1,000 of them in a 50 square foot patch and I would just step on them. I would walk over them. I have a hard time finding those things. If I go with somebody that has an eye for it, whatever that means, I guess it just means they're better at it than me. You know, they can point them out and they're like, oh, okay, I can see that one. And as they start to show me where they are and maybe even signs of what to look for, then I'm like, oh, I see another one. I see another one. I see another one. But I'm telling you right now, you could tell me, go right out here in these woods. It doesn't matter where you enter. There's no way you won't find mushrooms. I'm telling you, I'll go out there and I won't find any. Okay, when I'm trying to do it of my own will, it's something that I don't know what I'm doing and I get lost. I can't find anything, but if someone would show me the way, kind of help me and lead me and guide me little by little, I start to pick it up a little bit more, right? Now, if I don't go for a year, I got to start back over. This is how it is when we pursue God's will and God's plan down his path for our life. You know, sometimes it's like, I have no idea where to go. It's because you've been looking on your own. You've been trying on your own to find that path. And if you would let the Lord lead you down the path that he has for you, man, he's got great things in store for you. How many of you believe that God has great things in store for you? I hope you do. If you don't, today's your day. All right? We're going to be praying for that. James 4:14, he goes on and he says, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are like a smoke that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You know, why would we make plans that we know are not going to amount to anything? How about if I told you, you know what, sit down and figure up this business plan. I kind of give you a little bit of guidance. I'm like, just figure up this business plan and it's probably going to take you 100 hours and it is not going to work. It is going to fail miserably. How many of you would go through with that? I wouldn't. I raised my hand, but I wouldn't do it. You know, there's a lot of times where we're just pursuing these things on our own and we spend so much time planning things that are not going to pan out because they're just strictly not the will of God for our life. We're wasting our time if we're not seeking his will for us. You know, and there's this, I call it a disorder that people have. It's this thinking that we think that I know what's best for me. That's not right. It's a disorder, I'm telling you. How many of you think, you can be honest with you, how many of you sometimes from time to time you think, I know what's best for me? I'm raising my hand. There's times where I think that. I know what's best for me. Don't you think that the God of all creation just might know what's best for you? Don't you think the one that created you, don't you think that maybe he knows what's best for you, not you know what's best for you? I believe that. Proverbs 14:12, I don't have this one to put up there, but it says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right to me, but I tell you what, if it's not the way of the Lord, it ends in death. Okay, I don't know what's best for me. God Almighty knows what's best for me. And he tells us, you know, that you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. Proverbs 27:1 reaffirms that. It says, don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what that day will bring. You know, we make a lot of assumptions because of the patterns in our life, right? If you were to ask me what I'm doing next week, I could look at my schedule and I could say, on Monday is my day off, so spending time with my wife. On Tuesday, I have this meeting, and then I have this, and on Wednesday, I have this. I could tell you what I'm doing, right? What assurance do I have that that's actually going to be my schedule? None. Even some of you that may have a more standardized, organized job where things are the same all the time, you go to this factory and you work on this line every day, who's to say that you're going to be there this week? Who's to say that you're going to be there all 5 days this week and you're not going to, a machine's not going to break down where you get the day off, or maybe you just want to decide you want to take the day off. See, we don't have these certainties. They're things that we like to call certainties in life because of the patterns that we're used to going through. But I'd say they're not really certainties, but instead they're just guesses, right? Maybe educated guesses based on experience, but it's still just a guess. How many of you know what you're doing after church today? Just a couple people know what they're doing. Some of you guys have already caught on. How many of you know what you're doing after church today? There's nobody in here that knows what they're doing after church today. How many of you know that you're going to leave the church today? You don't know that. This could be it. The Lord could just take us, well, I guess you would be leaving if he just takes us straight up. But the truth is, we don't know what this day might bring. We know what we assume is going to happen. We know what we've planned is going to happen. This is the whole point James is saying here, is you don't know. You don't have any certainty or any guarantee about anything. You might have plans, but there's any number of things that can disrupt the plans that you have today for this afternoon. You know, we don't really know what we'll do today, tomorrow, beyond. And how many of you you've taken time to plan things and then they just don't work out? They don't turn out the way that you wanted to. Something happens where you have to cancel or whatever. It happens all the time because there's uncertainty. We don't know. So planning is good, but we've got to seek the Lord. We've got to ask him to show us his plan. And this is not something that you just do. This is not like, you know, if you have family planning, like family meetings or something where you meet once a week or once a month. You don't do that with the Lord. You need to seek him all throughout the day. Lord, what are your plans? Have your plans for me changed? Because of the way you respond to him, his plans for you may change, right? His plans might be, you need to go and hit the prayer room. you need to get in the war room because you've been pretty disobedient today. My plans for you have changed. You know, God's plans can change, right? The thing is, God doesn't change, but his plans definitely do. So our plans are never guaranteed, and our time on this earth isn't even guaranteed. James says it's like a smoke that appears for just a moment and disappears, vanishes. Other translations say a vapor. We don't know how long you'll be here. And how many of you know that if you don't know how long that you're going to be here, then you don't know how many more days of opportunity that you have. You don't know how many more days and how many more opportunities that you have. This is why it's important that we don't waste our time. This is why it's important that whatever we do it for the Lord. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We must pursue His will. We must pursue His will. If we make plans without His guidance, we're heading for trouble, just to be honest. And, you know, even what we pray for is important. How many of you pray, Lord, let my will be done in your name? How many of you pray for your will in Jesus' name? I would say most people do at some point. You pray for what you want instead of what you need. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. I do believe in praying in Jesus' name. But I'm going to tell you, just because you throw a in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of it, man, that doesn't mean that you're praying God's will. That does not mean that you're praying God's will. If you're just praying me, 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 this is what I want. This is what I want you to do for me, God. And this is how I want you to do it. And this is when I want you to do it. That's you praying your will in God's name. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You realize that only the will of God is done in heaven? Only what He wants to happen there happens in heaven. Because the enemy does not have control and power and authority over heaven. But the enemy does have power, control, and authority over this earth right now. He does. If you are in Christ, He doesn't have power, control, and authority over you, but He does over this earth that is rotting away, okay? We have got to seek the will of God, not our own will. What our prayers ought to be, instead of do what I want in your name, it ought to be, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, show me the way. You show me. Give me what I need, not what I want. Many of you know that line between needs and wants can seem like a pretty fine line. It's not fine at all to God. He knows exactly what you need. Okay, to us, we get that confused. We get confused, what do I need? Well, what I need is a job where I make, you know, $10,000 more. Or what I need is a new car. And God's up there like, dude, that's not what you need at all. That's not what you need at all. You make enough money right now. What you need is to learn how to budget. What you need to learn is how to be a good steward. What you need is to just suck it up, and you don't need a car with heated seats just because it's winter time. You don't have to go trade in your car and take on a bigger car payment just because it's cold outside. Now, I'm not saying you can never get a new car. I'm just saying a lot of times we confuse our needs and our wants based on our circumstances. We need to seek the Lord's will because He always knows what our needs are. And we've got to remember how limited we are. It's a lot easier to seek God's will when you can remember how limited you are. Now, I don't want you guys going around here moping all the time, like, I'm no good, I'm a nobody, like, woe is me. No, you are somebody in Christ. But it's the in Christ is where you're somebody. Other than that, you are nobody. You are nothing. And in comparison to Him, we are nobody as well. Our knowledge is limited. Our knowledge is limited, and it's full of uncertainty. Because again, we base a lot of it on assumptions or experiences. And I'll tell you what is certain. What is certain is that my God is all-knowing. What is certain is that my God is all-powerful. And it's in Him that I trust. And let me tell you a secret. That I know and I believe that my God only wants good for me. He only wants good for me. He doesn't want harm to come upon me. He doesn't want me to make wrong choices. He doesn't want me to pursue my own will. He's like, man, if you would just pursue my will, I have something great for you. If you would pursue the will of God, He has something great for you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you think you're going, where you've planned to go. I'm telling you that God, in His perfect will for you, He has something great. What I love is that sometimes when I'm down, I know that my God is still up. But do you also know that when you're up, your God is still up? Right? It's not just when you're down. It's when you're up. He's still up. No matter what we've planned or how we feel, seeking the Lord is what we need today. And seeking the Lord is what we need tomorrow and in the future. 2 Corinthians 4:16 Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. Day by day, the inner person can be renewed if you are seeking him, if you're going after him. Man, let the Lord guide you in all matters, today, tomorrow. I saw this anonymous quote. It said, "He who provides for this life but takes no care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever." He who provides for this life and takes no care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever. That's truth right there. James 4, 15 and 16 going on. He says, instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Now, see, I was reading this and I thought boasting usually means bragging, right? And, you know, bragging, most people don't brag about their arrogance, right? Because if they're arrogant, they probably don't realize that they're arrogant, right? I mean, not too many people. Every once in a while, you get somebody to be like, yeah, I'm arrogant. I'll admit it. But most people won't admit that they are. Okay, so they're not boasting that they are arrogant. So I was reading this. I'm like, what does this mean? And I started to study it. The Greek word here is kauhamai. K-A-U-C-H-A-O-M-A-I. Kauhamai. And this means to glory in such a thing, or to praise, or to admire. So what he's saying is not that you brag about it, but that you glory in it, you admire it, you praise it. It's not about you're bragging about it to other people. This is how you look at it. And the word arrogance is alazonia, A-L-A-Z-O-N-E-I-A. This means to trust in its own power and its own resources. So putting that together, when they pursue God's plans, they pursue their own plans, saying, I will do this, I will do that, without seeking the Lord, what they're doing is they're praising or they're admiring their own power. They're praising or they're admiring themselves. Like, man, look at these great things I plan on doing. It may not be in an outward thing. It's an inward thing that I praise and admire these plans that I have for my life. How many of you have had some great plans in your life just get crumped, just squashed? Like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, there is nothing's going to hold me back. I am going to do it. When you get to that point and you're glorifying and you're admiring these plans that you have made, this power that you have to make your own plans, man, I'm telling you what, God can just crush that in a moment's notice. In a moment's notice. Some of you have heard this story before, but Christy and I were in the process. We were going to build a house just out past the Einhorns on the other side of Lake Nelly, own some property. We had groundbreaking in 1 week. It was like a Wednesday, I think it was, or a Tuesday. And groundbreaking was the following Tuesday or Wednesday. And God said, no, you're not. You're not going to do it. And this is one of the very first times that I really felt like I heard from the Lord. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I was like, you know, we were like on fire for the Lord. Had just been coming to church for a few months or a year or whatever. And I was like, okay, God, I trust you. Like, I'm at the point where I'm so desiring God's will for my life that I would do anything insane that he told me. And to me, that was insane. You got to realize this is what we've been planning for years. And I had to call up that contractor and say, forget it. And he said, what? I said, forget it. We're not building a house. And he's like, are you kidding me? He's like, I got this guy and this guy coming like next week to start digging for the basement. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, we're not doing it. That was the year that the housing market crashed. And we were going to be in way over our heads with the cost that it. We had to redo that lane, went up a big hill, and the power to run up there and the water and all that. We would have been way in over our head on that house. We would have just took a bloodbath in that house for the money we would have had invested in it. man, what if I had not listened to the will of God and I would have just said, you know what? No, this is what I'm going to do. And I make enough money. My wife makes enough money. We looked at our budget and it's going to be tight, but we can make this happen. We are going to do it. I could have done that, right? You have the ability to just override the will of God in some instances where you're like, you know what? I'm just going to do it anyway. I don't really care what he wants for my life. I'm telling you, if I hadn't listened that day, I would have been in some serious trouble. But instead, I feel like he's done the opposite, and we've been blessed tremendously. Man, when we do these things, when we praise or admire ourselves and our own power, man, this is not the way of God's people. This is the way of the world. It's the way of the world to admire and to glory in your own ability and your own power. Do you know that we are called to be different? Like one just Jan knows that. You guys know that we're called to be different? Okay. We as God's children, we are called to be different. We are not our own, right? We're holy. We're set apart. Colossians 3 says, so if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. And we are called to think differently. You know, most people, I'm going to tell you, what was the percentage I saw the other day? 79% of Americans claim to be Christians. Out of those 79%, probably a pretty high percentage. This is not, that is actual from actual data from a survey. But I would say the majority, say 80, 90% of those 79% probably would say that they pray about things in their life. How many of you have said, I'll pray about something, and then you never did? I have. See, just because we say that I'll pray about that does not mean that we're seeking the will of God for a situation. You realize that? If I'm talking to Ben and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'll pray about that. I'll pray about that and see if that's what God wants me to do. And then I never pray about it. I never mention it again until Ben asks me again. And I'll be like, oh yeah, 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 no, I'm not going to do that. Okay, now if I haven't actually prayed about it, if I haven't actually sought God, listen, I'm still doing my own will. Just because you say I'm going to pray about something doesn't mean that you're seeking God's will. It's what decision did you make? Did you make your decision that you were going to make all along regardless? Or did you actually pray and God confirmed, yes, what you were going to do, that is my will for you. If that's the case, then great. You're doing the will of God. But you know what? There's a lot of times where he may change that and say, oh no, that would be a terrible idea, Tim. That is stupid. Do not do that. Okay, we've got to pursue the will of God. It's not just about claiming to be a Christian, because most of this world, most of this country claims to be Christians. We are called to be different. We are called to be set apart. C.S. Lewis said, if you read history, you will find out that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who fought most for the next. The people that have done the most for this current world are the people that are fighting the most for the next. Pursuing eternity, pursuing the kingdom of God, praying for his will to be done. These are the people that have had the greatest impact on this life, on this world. Man, God has things for you to do today. Say, God has things for me to do today. And tomorrow, right? He does. He has things for you to do. There is not one person in here that God doesn't have a plan and a purpose for your life. And that, listen, it's not about when can I start doing those things. It's about seeing what does he want me to do today. It may not be what I want to do. Maybe what you want to do is to lead prayer or to preach or to be able to just go down the street and just start telling people about the gospel, and they're just like, yes, I'm in, and just start swarming around you and show me where to go. Maybe that's what you want. But maybe that's not the will for today. Maybe that is the will for a year from now, or 5 years from now, or today. It might be. But I'm saying what we've got to do is we've got to pursue the will of God. God, what do you want me to do today? If we go one single day without asking God, what do you want me to do today? It is a wasted day. It is a wasted day. I really wish I could remember that J.J. Watt quote I have in my office, but it says something along the lines of, I have to do everything I can for today, because after today, today is gone and I cannot get that day back. That's what he says in a nutshell. He says it a little bit better than that, but it's like, whatever I can do today, I've got to do it today, because once today is gone, I can't ever get it back. You can't ever get it back. If we go one day without pursuing the will of God for our life, it is a wasted day. Now listen, the will of God could be for you to relax in your comfy PJs and watch movies, you know, or TV, to take a break if you have a busy life or whatever. But I'll tell you what, that's not the will of God for your life. That could be the will of God for your day. He could be like, you know what? I do want you to just relax. I do want you to just spend time sitting around with your family and just chatting about whatever and, you know, just take it easy. That could be the will today. Anyone who discounts that, well, you're just wrong, because you don't know what the will of God is for your life. He could will any number of things, but the key is pursuing day by day by day. What is your will today? Because if it's to relax today, you're probably relaxing because you're going to be busy tomorrow. You may be busy for the next however many days. Pursue the kingdom first. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Always excelling in the Lord's work, and know that it's never in vain. When you are doing the will of God, it does not matter if you like it. I know, it kind of stinks. It does not matter if you like it. I'm telling you that all those works, all those things that you do, if they're in the Lord's will, they will not be done in vain. That means they won't be wasted. You won't regret it. I have never in my life regretted doing something that God wanted me to do. Never. I can say that with confidence. Yes. Complete confidence. I have never regretted anything that God has told me to do. Never. You won't either. You don't regret things that the Lord has had you do. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. So we should do them? No. So we should walk in them. It's a continual process, right? How far can you get without walking? I mean, you could roll your way to the car and pull your way up in it, right? And do your will and get wherever you want to go, maybe. But how far can you really go in life without walking or some kind of assistance if you're disabled? But I'm just saying in general, he's wanting us to walk in these good works. That means if you just consider, just think about this. I'm going to challenge you for the next week. Every single time that you're walking, you think about, what good works am I walking in? What good works am I doing for God right now? Where am I going? What am I doing? Where am I walking to? Where am I coming from? We should be walking in the good works that the Lord has for us, because he created them long before he created you. You realize that? God had the plan for you. See, God's a planner. He said, you know what? I'm going to make Cheryl Jackman, and here's the plan that I have for her. And he's got this plan. And then he made her. It wasn't just like, I'm just going to make Cheryl and then I'm going to throw some gifts in her and just see what she does. I'm going to see what she does with it. See how faithful she is. No, he said, I've got this plan. Now I'm going to make her and I'm going to stick her in that plan. And it's going to be awesome. And if she follows my plan, the things she'll do will be mind-blowing. They'll be amazing. Amen? Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5. Lord, reveal to me the end of my life and the number of my days. Let me know how short-lived I am. You indeed have made my days short in length, and my span, my lifespan, as nothing in your sight. Yes, every mortal man is only a vapor. Every mortal man is only a vapor. We're only here for a moment. I mean, I really wish that we could get a real firm idea of how short life really is. I mean, how many of you have gotten to an age where you're like, you know, I'm halfway to where I expect to live, or I'm past halfway to where I expect to live, or I can't believe I've lived this long. Okay, we have all these markers where we look at, and I've shared this before, but I remember as a kid thinking like, dude, 30 years old is like, you're old. You're like old as dirt, right? Like 30. And then as I get into my early 20s, I'm like, 30 ain't bad at all. Like 40 is old. Like 40 is old as dirt. And then I get a little bit older into my 30s, and I'm like, dude, I think you're pretty young if you're like 70, you know, because you're only as young as you feel. And I feel like I'm 65 some days. So I'm like, I think even in the 70s, you're still pretty young, right? Like this life, I mean, it goes by fast. If you've got kids, you realize how fast life goes on. Whenever you have a loved one that passes away or something, and you look back and it's been like 10 years, and you're like, it's 10 years? It's like they were just here yesterday. What happened? Where is this time going? Man, it's fast. If we could just get a grasp on how short life is and how fast it goes by, I don't think we would want to waste another day. We wouldn't want to waste them. Let's be fruitful with the days of our life. Today is the day. Today is the day to live for God. And if we can do that, no matter where our lives end, we'll have lived a fulfilled life if we can do it in the will of God. If we can go in his plans that he has for us. W.M. Lewis, not C.S. Lewis, he said, "The tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin." Man, the tragedy of life is not that it ends soon. The tragedy is that we wait so long, our stubbornness, for so long we push and force our will, and how long it takes us to break that down. It takes God to break that down to follow his will. That's the tragedy, is that we wait so long to do what God wants us to do. You want to know why God hasn't used you for mightier and greater things? Because he's still waiting for you to just be good. Just pay attention, be obedient, and do the last thing I asked you to do. Or do the thing I'm setting before you today, right? He who is faithful with little will be given much more, right? If you want to be, you know, the worship leader, start by cleaning. If you want to be, you know, if you want to be a televangelist, man, start by hitting your knees and just praying on a daily basis. For real. Not, Lord, I want more money. I want my, you know, my family to be healthy. I want to have a nice car. Like, no, for real. If you want to be a televangelist, man, the place that starts is with prayer on your knees. And then seek the will of God, if that's the will of God for your life. But see, we've all got to start somewhere. When are we going to begin? One of the beauties about seeking God's will for our life first is, again, that we don't know what tomorrow holds, but do you know who does? He does. He knows what tomorrow holds. You know, he's not surprised by what you have going on in your life tomorrow. We may not know what will happen even next week, but God does. We don't know how long we will be on this earth, but God does. You know, if we all want this future that's certain, I'll tell you what, there's one way. What if we could tell everybody there is one way that you will live a great life? There is one way that you will leave a legacy. There is one way that you will make an incredible impact on your family, your friends, your workplace, the people all around you. There is one way that you are guaranteed to do that. Who would not want to sign up for that? Do you know that there is one way that we can do all those things? There is one way. We put our lives in God's hands and depend on him for everything. Lord, show me your will. If we are doing the will of God, we will make an impact on the world around us. It's a guarantee. Our plans should be evaluated by God's standards, by his goals, prayed over, seeking his guidance. And listen, if you're tired of your plan not working out, listen, try something different. If you're tired of your plan not working out, try something different. Maybe it's time to seek out his plan. How many of you wrestled with God for years before you came to faith? I did. You know what I realized at some point was that my plan wasn't working out. My plan wasn't working out. Well, how many of you know that it doesn't end with saving grace and faith? It doesn't end there. You still have to continue to follow his plan after that, or you just end up in the same boat. Things aren't working out the way I wanted again. And you know what? Even if your plans are going the way that you want, your plans could be perfect. Your life might be exactly the way that you want. You might have the perfect kids, the perfect spouse. You might have the perfect job. You might have everything going great for you. Man, do not glory in your arrogance and think that you've got this thing figured out. Man, don't you for a second glory in your arrogance and think that, man, I have got this whipped, right? I've got this all figured out. Because I'm going to tell you what, God's will never loses. God's will never loses out, and God's will not fail. Proverbs 19:21, many plans are in a man's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. We can have many plans, but God's plan will prevail. Proverbs 3:6, think about him in all your ways and he will guide you on the right paths. And that's all we've got to do. In all of our ways, think about him. In all of our ways, think about him. Don't assume that you've got this figured out. Don't assume that, well, it's Monday morning. I wake up at 5 o'clock. I go walk the dog. I come back. I make breakfast. I do all this. It's fine to have those plans, but don't just assume that that's the plan that you have for tomorrow. Don't assume that you have that plan tomorrow. God may say, don't walk your dog. I want you to pray. Don't walk your dog because something bad could happen. Okay? God protects us from a lot of things when we listen to him as well. It's not just blessing, it's protection. How many of you believe that God is your protector? I do. I believe in that. Christy reminds me of that every once in a while. If I'm maybe a little bit psycho about being punctual, like to a bad way. And Christy will remind me every once in a while. It's like, you just listen, man, there's an accident, there's traffic or whatever. Just, it'll be fine. Things will work out. You know, this could be God protecting us from something down the road. Especially like when we go to our mom's. We got a 12-hour drive. I'm like, listen, everybody bring a drink cup and a pee cup. We ain't stopping. I got a gas truck that's going to be following behind. He's going to be hooking into us once in a while. We're getting there in 11 and a half hours, no doubt about it. Right? I get crazy about that stuff. I'm like, let's get there. Let's go, go, go. I don't want any delays. You know, I mean, I tell you what, you get a little traffic here and there. You get the road construction. Man, Lord, help us. Give us golden roads in Illinois so we can just drive somewhere without cones and having to slow down. What does it mean when they hold the sign that says slow? You already told me I got to go 45. What does slow mean? Is it slower? Give me a number. We talk about it every time. I'm like, can I get a ticket if I'm going to anything over 45? Because that's the last number I saw. And that's what I'm going to tell them if they pull me over and say, you need to go slow. I'm like, this is slow. I'm supposed to already be on the other side of Vandalia by now. All right, but so often we see things in our lives and we're just like, no, this is interfering with my will. This is interfering with my plans. This is interfering with what I want to do. It's causing me a delay. It's causing me to reroute. It's causing me to do a different thing than what I have desired. I mean, sometimes that's God just diverting us for our protection. And in your actual spiritual life, sometimes that's God just saying, man, you don't need to go that way. You need to go this way. You need to slow down. You're going too fast. You're not getting it here. You're getting in a dangerous territory. So James wraps up this statement, this text, with this statement. He says, so it is a sin for the person who knows to do good, knows to do what is good, but doesn't do it. It's a sin for someone to know what is good and then to not do it. I believe that he wraps up all this right here. He's kind of like, now that I've told you, listen, now that I've told you, you got no excuse. You got no excuse. You've done been told and you got no reason to not do this. You know, we tend to limit sins to specific acts, right? Things that we do wrong. Those are sins of commission. But James tells us right here, it's also a sin to not do what is right. The sins of omission, the sins of the things that we do not do. You know, it's a sin to lie. How many of you know that? Where do liars go? The lake of fire, right? Liars go to the lake of fire. But do you also know that it can be a sin to know the truth and to not tell it? What about that one? Like the white lies? Listen, a lie is a lie. Doesn't matter. There's no white lies. It's a lie. Don't be trying to sugarcoat your sin with using the word white. You add the word white to it, doesn't make it any better. Okay? It's a white lie. Like it's a pure lie. Like it's a holy lie. No, it's not. It's a lie. But it can be just as sinful to know truth and withhold it. You know, it's a sin to disobey God, right? If we don't do the things, or if God tells us to do something and we do something different, that's a sin. But you know, it's also a sin to act and to seek our own will without his guidance. That's the sin of omission. Instead of I want God's plan for my life, it's no, I want to do what I want for my life. Like, God, you can be over here. I'm omitting your will because I want to fulfill my own will. That can be a sin as well. And you know, we often ask God for too little, I believe. You know, sometimes what we need, how many of you ask God for questions? How many of you guys give God like a kind of a criteria for his answer for your prayer? You're like, Lord, I ain't got much time. I really just need a yes or no answer. Can I have this or can I not? I kind of need to know because it's the last one on the shelf and I think the guy behind me is looking at it, you know? Or, you know, I got to make this decision right now because my wife is asking me this question. I don't want to do it. But am I supposed to do it or am I not? Just give me yes or no so I know what to say really quickly. We put parameters on God in prayer sometimes, right? You may not literally say that, but it may be what you're thinking, okay? We think about stuff like that. Sometimes, again, with road signs, you know, a road sign is what we want from God. We want, Lord, just quickly just point me the way. Just give me the sign. I don't need a whole thing about it. I don't need to hear about what I ought to be doing differently. Just show me. Just give me a little nudge in the right direction. Give me that road sign. You know what we really need instead is we need God himself. We need the guide in our lives all the time. You know, maps, road signs, things like that can be helpful. But you know what's infinitely better? Someone who's already been there and who knows the way. Someone who's already been there and who knows the way. And don't tell me that go down here and turn north or whatever, north that way. See, I don't even know what it is now. Don't tell me go out here and turn north and go 3.2 miles and turn east. And I'm going to be like, no, tell me the street names, right? I need more than that. A lot of times if I'd be way better off if someone is with me that knows how to get there. When we go to Fairview Heights or somewhere like that, Christy likes for me to continue driving. And I'm like, I know where nothing is at. It doesn't matter how many times I've been there. Tell me how to get there. And she'll be like, drive up two lights, take a left. Turn here, do this. And it works out great. I got somebody that's been there before. If she was to write those instructions down and send me there by myself, I'd be in trouble. I'd probably use my GPS, but I'd be in trouble otherwise. Sometimes it's good to know the one who has been there before you. That's what we have with the Lord. Realize he's been through everything that we've been through. He's faced it all. Why would we not want the one who has been there before us and made it through it all to show us how to get through? Why would we not want that? I mean, I could see if you were going to get some like tour guide or whatever and they were annoying. You know, maybe you wouldn't want to spend all that time with them. Like, dude, just give me the map, put a couple X's on it, and get out of here. But we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Lord of Lords, hopefully the love of your life. Man, why would you not want him with you? Why would you not want him directing your path, directing your ways? To make a decision without seeking God, seeking his will, is a sin. To fail to seek God's will because you're afraid his answer will be no is a sin. You realize that? If you're afraid to seek God's will because the answer is no, you need the holy smack from God. I'm not going to pray about this because I already know the answer and I'm going to do what I want anyway. That's a sin. That's a sin. To know that God's answer is no and to do it anyway. Again, sin. The wages of sin is death. How many of you know that we're not called to death, but we are called to life? We are called to life. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. We are called to a holy life, one of seeking his will and purposes. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for God's glory. Everything. I mean, I'm telling you, God has more for you than what you think. He has more for you than what you think. Listen, there's times where I think I know what God has for me. I'm like, God gives me word and gives me vision. He gives me encouragement through people. And there's times and I'm like, I enjoy what I'm doing right now. Right now, this very moment, I love doing this. But this better not be it. This better not be all there is to life. Because I know that God has greater things. I'm not saying I'm not going to be doing this. I'm just saying there's greater anointing that I can have. There's greater vision that I can have. There's greater sensitivity to his spirit that I can have. There's greater things that I can do for his name and for his glory. We should never be satisfied with where we're at in our spiritual walk. Never. If you're satisfied, it means you're complacent. And if you're complacent, it means you're about ready to roll back down the hill. You should never be satisfied with what God has for your life. He desires to use you. Say, God desires to use me. He desires to use you. He desires to be close to you. You know that? There's a few scriptures about drawing near to God and he'll draw near to you. And God desires to be close to you. Listen, if you want someone to lead and to guide you, they've got to be close. They've got to be close to you. If they're not close to you, you're not going to hear the direction. You're not going to hear the instruction. He desires to lead you. And in closing, he desires to burn in you. How many of you realize that? The Spirit of God desires to burn in you. Worship team, if you guys would come. Again, today is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day when we celebrate, right? We're going to celebrate the Holy Spirit coming to men and women. You realize there's a slew of reasons why the Holy Spirit came. Just like there is with Jesus. How many of you, there's several scriptures where Jesus says, I came to set the captives free. I came to destroy the works of the enemy, right? He came to give life and life more abundant. Man, the Holy Spirit came for several things too. And they all tie in together, just like Christ's all tie in together. Man, he came that we would know him, that we would overcome the enemy, that we would live in him. The Holy Spirit came to guide us. He came to lead us. He came to comfort us. Man, all these things that he came to do, they're all for one thing. They're all to show us the way. Show us the way to that narrow path. Show us the way to Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit came for. How many of you are excited that the Holy Spirit is here to guide you through this life? Man, I'm telling you what, this life can really stink. It can really stink. I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit, if you will let him guide you, he's got great things for you. This was the promise of the Father. You realize that? Jesus said, I'm going so the Father can send the one that he promised. The promise that he has for you. Jesus leaves after his death and resurrection so the Father could send his Spirit to be with those who love his Son and guide them and lead them. If you guys would stand with me. Luke 3:16. You're just used to saying John when you say 3:16. Luke 3:16, one of my favorite verses. John answered them all and said, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You realize they're separate, but they're together. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. But it's something that happens at the same time. Listen, this is what God's people need. This is what the world needs. The world needs Jesus, absolutely, but we need more than just to know a Savior. We need to follow the Savior. We need this baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. To be baptized literally means to be dipped, to be immersed. It means to be made clean. It means to be overwhelmed. And we need to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, right? We need to be overwhelmed in the Holy Spirit. We need to be cleansed by the Spirit's leading towards sanctification. And that overwhelming part of that is being overpowered. How many of you need the Holy Spirit to overpower you and take control today? We need the fire of God in us today. Today is the day. On Tuesday night, our prayer group, which is open to everybody, Tuesdays at 9. It was shared this week by two or three different people kind of had part in this about coals. How we were like coals, and God needs to bring those coals together, needs to fan the flame. Do you know that a coal, even when it gets separated from the rest of the fire, it's still hot for a very, very long time. Even when it looks like it's not hot anymore, you touch it and it will burn you. It's still hot. It's like the people of God are like coals, and we need to be drawn together. In unity, brought together. When you're brought close together and that fire starts to stir and starts to burn, before you know it, all these coals that may have looked like, they may even look like these dry bones that we are singing about, but there's a little bit of fire inside. Just a little bit of fire inside. And when they get close and in unity with all the rest of the coals, what can happen? A huge flame can ignite. A huge flame can ignite. This church has been prophesied over multiple times about being a lighthouse. And the word God gave me on Tuesday night was that we think about a lighthouse, right? There's a light in it. It shines out. It shines out into the surrounding area. They can see it there. This place is not a lighthouse because we leave here and the church is empty, but the fire of God is just sitting in here. Shining out the windows. That's not what he means by a lighthouse. It's the fire that is in us that is shining out of this place. It is the fire of God. It is the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we come together in unity and then we go out of this place. We shine out of this place to affect the darkness around us. You guys receive that today? This is what we're going to do. It's Pentecost Sunday, and so we're absolutely praying for the Holy Spirit and for fire. If you're willing to take up the call, I want you to start heading down to the altar. And what we're going to do is we're going to take all these coals and we're going to get together. We're going to take all these coals and we're going to line up down here together. And we are going to worship the Lord. We are going to seek him. On the day of Pentecost, these 120 went up into this upper room. They prayed for a very, 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 very long time. But they knew what their promise was. They knew the promise was coming if they would just hold the faith. We're going to come together. If you're coming, come now. Start to come down. We're going to...